I'm sure at least some of you are wondering what is taking place, what's happening with the camera and everything. Well, the lady with the camera, of course, is Pam Harbaugh. You see her name regularly in Florida Today, columnist, contributor, and she and her husband, John, high school teacher, are very, very much part of our church, and they are currently working to compile enough information to make our own church DVD. So very soon, all of us will be privileged to have at least one DVD on our shelf that will tell us about our church, what we're doing, how we're doing, and of course the prayer is that it would also help to stimulate the realization of the challenges facing our church and seek with us a future for our beloved church. Spirit of gentleness. Some people asked me recently, we haven't sung it for a long time, and that's one of my favorite hymns. Well, if you were one of those, I can assure you that it was on ice during Easter time, waiting for today to happen. It's always difficult because when we compile our worship service, I sometimes work with a stopwatch because time is so precious, and this is one of the longest hymns, but you cannot cut one verse, then it loses something. So that's what we did this morning. Welcome back to a beloved hymn. We'll sing it more often, and I just want to say for all time, for our elderly people, nothing wrong with staying seated while the people are standing. Nothing wrong if you feel this is getting a little bit too much for me. Just calmly sit down. Why not? Why not? There's no way that you have to do it. We worship where we are comfortable and where we are present. I'm going to risk, because today, with your indulgence, we're going to talk a little bit about Kivadas. Now, first of all, I could say my arm was twisted because the people who worked so hard said, and now when are you going to talk specifically about Kivadas? But my arm wasn't really twisted. I can just tell you that this date was already singled out as a Kivadas date about 6 months ago, even before our current committee was formed. Because that is who we are. That is our mission. That's where we're moving. And we already see on our T-shirts, if not you, who? If not now, when? These are serious questions. And I'm going to be bold enough to add a third question to that. If not from here, from where? There's a question in our first reading, basically saying, and why are you idle? What is your mission? Matthew 20, verses 1 through 7. God's kingdom is like an estate manager who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. They agreed on a wage of $1 a day and went to work. Later, about 9 o'clock, the manager saw some other men hanging around the town square, unemployed. He told them to go to work in his vineyard, and he would pay them a fair wage. They went. He did the same thing at noon and again at 3 o'clock. At 5 o'clock, he went back and found still others standing around. He said, "Why are you standing around all day doing nothing?" They said, "Because no one hired us." And he told them to go to work in his vineyard. It was our first reading. The second reading consists of just one single verse. And at least for the past 8 years, this verse was projected on the screen and used Sunday after Sunday. And in a certain sort of way, I'm grateful to say many people have come to associate this Matthew 6:33 with part of our vision as part of our mission statement. Matthew 6:33 Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Do not worry about missing out. You will find all your everyday human concerns will be met. And then the third so beautiful Matthew 28 verses 16 through 20 is simply a statement coming from Jesus in Scripture. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I am going with you. We find that in Matthew 28, verse 16. Meanwhile, the 11 disciples were on their way to Galilee, headed for the mountain Jesus had set out for their reunion. And the moment they saw him, they worshipped him. Some, though, held back, not sure about worship, about risking themselves totally. Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave his charge. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. Listen to the promise. I'll be with you as you do this, day after day, right up to the end of the age. Here ends our scripture reading. Speak to us, Spirit of God, through your word this very day. Friends, it's impossible to be in and around our church not to notice that this is a church on the move. This is a church on the march. More and more individuals, people, devoted and inspired, are stepping out of the ranks, stepping forward, doing something special, claiming co-ownership of their beloved church. People who sat quietly in these pews for years are now donning Kuvadis t-shirts, do chants, devoting precious time, doing their part to claim the promises of God, being part of something great happening in our midst. In many different ways, and I remember it happened in October 2004, that I used the term Kuvadis for the first time from this pulpit. Since then, our church has been asking amongst ourselves, first in the leadership, Kuvadis. God, you've called us to be leaders. Kuvadis, God, where should we go? Where are we going with this, your church, your people? Oh yes, we've done some introspection. We've turned to knowledgeable church professionals. We've done our homework, and we have come to the same conclusion. What was our conclusion? Our stunning, scary, but also exciting conclusion is that the Bible still provides us with a clear and unmistakable roadmap into a greater future than we could ever dream or imagine for ourselves. So I'm not coming with a new gospel to our beloved church. But we are reaching back to the Bible, our guide, our compass, our anchor in years gone by, also for the future, also for the time that we are now in. You know, many of us grew up with the beautiful hymn singing, "Standing, standing, standing on the promises of Christ my Savior. Standing, standing, I am standing on the promises of God." Now, we remember the song, but sadly, many of us must acknowledge that we've almost forgotten the age-old directions of the Master. Rather than standing on the promises of God, we have been sitting on the premises of our church. Talk can be amazingly cheap when we allow lip service to pass for the real thing. Now, dear ones, I remember so well, while still in high school, that I now and then slipped away to attend services at a little church not far from our home in Johannesburg, South Africa. And that little church was known for a few things not popular with everybody. It had blaring music and very noisy services. I remember to this day, they were such a lively, even a rowdy bunch. Now, I guess that my dear mother, who was always there and watching me closer than I sometimes appreciated, saw my obvious enjoyment of their style of worship. And I think somehow, because you knew the church where I grew up in, it was a bit different. So I guess she got a little bit concerned. And I remember one day quietly when she said to me, she called me Freddie in those days, "Just remember," she said, "that it does not matter how high you jump or how loud you shout, it's what you do when you come down that really matters." I remember, my dear mother, talk is cheap. There's an old saying, but money buys the whiskey. Not shouting, but doing. Obeying, listening, following, being the people of God in a wonderful, adventurous time. The passages that we read in Scripture this morning are so powerful, so directly to the point, that they need very little explanation. Jesus compared the coming kingdom of God with a vineyard at harvest time, and the owner could not bear seeing workers standing idle in the marketplace. So he made several trips to also call and give them opportunity to labor in his vineyard. Now the Kivada's question voices God's question in our midst. Why are you standing around all day doing nothing? How do we hear that question? Being shouted from the pulpit, no, it won't work. We hear that still, quiet voice deep, deep inside, where no one can really check on us. The precious moments when we are so aware of God's presence. And then often the whisper comes to us, "Why are you standing around doing nothing?" And then the still quiet voice begs us to stand up, beckoning us to step forward. Oh, we know the voice and we follow the call. "You also go and work in my vineyard." I heard that call long ago. Many of you heard it when you were small, when you were growing up. To some it came later in your life. But there came a time when you made a choice for Jesus Christ. If not, you would not be in this church today. You also go, says God, and work in my vineyard. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus tells us to choose our mission and to get our priorities straight. And that is so beautiful. I so much enjoy this translation coming from the original Koine Greek. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, and God provisions. Do not worry about missing out, and you will find all your everyday human concerns will be met. God says, if you're telling me that you have to do this and you have to do that to survive and to live and to reach your other goals, God simply says through Scripture, let me tell you something. Steep your life in your faith in God, and all these things that you stay up late for and get out of bed early will be given to you. It's not your minister saying this. It's Scripture. It's God's word in the Bible. Being busy in church, however, is not the same thing as being godly. If being busy created godliness, you know what? Then bees and ants would be closer to God than human beings. We can be a very busy church. We can even be a growing church and still be ineffective, almost useless in the work of the kingdom of God. We need, said Scripture, we need to realize who we are. Sometimes I dare to say, to address our people from this pulpit as people of God. How can I say that? Calling a crowd people of God. Well, let me tell you how. By our own confirmation promises. There came a day when our members, whether here or elsewhere, whether long ago or recently, made promises to God. And in these days, we remind ourselves of the promises that we made. Kivadas challenges us to recapture a sense of to whom we belong, of who we really are. The work of Christ is the work of us all. I want you to remember and understand and remind myself, there was not a single ordained, trained clergy person among those who first launched the community of believers into becoming the most powerful spiritual force of all time. The people in the time of Jesus got the message, and they moved and they moved. And that small beginning by the shore of a lake in Galilee eventually became one of the largest, most powerful forces in all the world. God's kingdom became the vision, the task, and even the obsession of countless millions of people. Those days, no clergy people took the brunt of the load. Farmers, fishers, homemakers, tax collectors, ordinary people fueled the church's growth and influence since the first days when Christianity was born. I believe in the year 2009, we need to recapture that awareness that God still speaks. God is still speaking. God is calling all of us to work in the vineyard, not only just a few. No exceptions. This Church of Jesus Christ in Cocoa Beach has enormous potential. If you look at where we are situated, we can just thank God for the insight and the wisdom of the founders of Cocoa Beach, who dared to purchase this site as a church for years to come. A church to stand as this small city was built and grew around these grounds. Oh, and we have a proud history of faithful and loving service to our community. We have so much to be thankful for. Read our church history. Speak to those who were here 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago. Even people in this church were here 50 years ago. I honor you for the heritage that you helped build for us who are reaping the fruit today. Times have changed. We have to keep up with the times, and we can do everything possible to say, no, we cannot change. No, we have to remain the same. Then we will be buried with the past if we do not allow God's Spirit to broaden our vision and to enlighten us and to show us the way through God's Spirit into the future. Even if we have to change some of our ways, as long as we never, ever move away from our God. If we have fallen behind, it is time to catch up. There is no challenge that we cannot face. There are victories to win in the name of Christ. We are connected in faith, and we will lose our Christian character if we neglect our communication with God through Jesus Christ. The same source of power that gave birth to the church 2,000 years ago is still with us today. And available to us is the same presence of the same God. Faithful 2,000 years ago, faithful April 2009. And then there comes a final greeting of Jesus in the Bible. Read the Bible, you will see that these are really the last recorded words that Jesus spoke. Remember, he said, I am with you always to the end of the age. And as we embark on our mission into the future, as we accept the challenge to be and remain a true church of Jesus Christ, we still hear the echo of the Master of the Vineyard's voice once again in our midst today, calling, pleading, a soft, still voice not coming from the pulpit, but coming from deep inside us. My child, do you still love me? Come then, follow me, be not afraid. I will be with you, said Jesus. I will be with you as you do this day after day, right up to the end of the age. Amen then. Come, Lord Jesus. Quo vadis? Where do you want us to go, Master? We shall follow. Amen. Let us bow our heads in prayer. O God, we your people now unite before you in prayer. We place before you our lives, fragmented, busy and tired. We often catch only glimpses of beauty and joy. Save us from hurry and worry. Thank you for coming to us in the stillness of this morning. We are still your church, as we were in 1942. We are a few generations away already. We are still forging ministry, caring for those who are hurting, letting go of the way it used to be. Teach us the way of trust. Fill us with your authority to love and care as we tell the story of faith to an upcoming generation. We bring before you those in our midst who especially need to sense your loving presence today, this morning, in this church, as they struggle with the realities of life. Teach us, O God, the sacrament of care, the depths of prayer, and guide us to do in your name daily acts of love. And may the mighty wind of your Spirit lift all of us to higher visions, to greater dreams, and to a renewed strength to make those visions and dreams a reality in this world. Open us today to the new creation you seek to bring about within and among us. Hear us as we pray, Lord Jesus. We do so in your precious name. Amen.